Hey, how y'all doing this morning once again? Come on, let's give God a great big hand. So thankful to be here with you today. Awesome, awesome, awesome. What a great, great, great crowd we have here. And you know what? You're a good-looking crowd, too. Come on, somebody. Nudge your neighbor and say, did you hear what he said? Come on. How many of y'all know when you have good news, you have an urgency to share it?
Yeah.
Don't you have an urgency to share it? My wife, Natalie, and I, we've been doing a lot of travel for ministry lately, and we've been in a lot of airports, a lot of flights, all over the place, and a week ago today, we found ourselves in Huntsville, Alabama. I don't expect for you to know where Huntsville is, okay, but we were in Huntsville. We were trying to make our way home back to Pittsburgh on a late Sunday night after ministering for about 3 days there, and we were there, and our flight was delayed. And so we were supposed to be at gate one. So we got there at gate one. We were on our way to Charlotte and gate one. And that as we were delayed, we realized that there was another flight two gates away at gate three going to Charlotte. Okay. One was flight number 5484. One was 5497. Now, who thought of this idea? I don't know. But we were there at one, and then it was delayed and delayed. And then they said, well, you got to go to three. And so we went to three. And then I realized that, no, we were supposed to be at one. It was chaotic, okay? But I realized after I sorted it all out, I realized that we were on the one at gate one, okay? But we were standing at gate three. How many of y'all know that's a problem? Because if you don't have the right ticket, you're not getting on the plane. Okay, if you've never flown before, that's a thing. Okay, and so we're there, and now this is bothering me. Okay, because people that were at one ended up at three, and three's at one, and it was just chaotic. And on the board, it said they're going to Dallas. They didn't even have the right name there. A young man was there, and he came to me, and he said, can I ask you for help? And I don't know why he picked me. Maybe I look like a grandfather. Or maybe it was because I have such technical expertise, okay? And he asked me about an app. He said, I need to download the app. Can you help me? I said, yes, I can. So I helped him get the right app. I said, now you can. I showed him how to use it. I'm helping him. But now it's bothering me because I go to the counter and I said, excuse me. I said, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a lot of people sitting right here that should be down there. I'm bothered. I don't know what it is in me that I'm so bothered, but I can't sit still because I have urgent good news that you're supposed to be somewhere else than you're going right now. Okay. And so I go to them and I said, you got to tell people here that they're at the wrong place. They got to go down here. And they went, they'll figure it out. This is literally, they're mumbling at me. And I said, no, I don't think you understand. And then the supervisor was there. He came over. I said, excuse me, sir. I said, and I explained to him, and he goes, he turns around and looks at the thing. He says, Dallas. You don't even know where the plane's going. This is wonderful. So I start telling anybody that would listen to me, I don't know why. I was like, hey, what flight are you on? People are looking at me like, you're a creeper, okay? I mean, it's like, but I have urgency on my life. How many of y'all know when you have urgency on your life, you don't care what you look like? You just want to help somebody. So we make our way down to gate one. And Natalie knows, I'm standing there. I'm still bothered. I am still bothered because now there's people at our gate that should be at the other gate. And I'm like, oh my goodness, somebody needs to do something. It's me. I'm hyperventilating. You know, I'm going there. And so finally, they make an announcement. I mean, glory to God in the highest. So they tell people, and people go, there's like a scattering. There's people going like. And so once I got my ticket out and I showed them the right ticket on the right plane, I had to go through a narrow corridor. So you go by the narrow way down into the plane. I had to get into the plane. I had to find my seat. And then I had to buckle up in my seat. And then I had the last thing I had to do because I had to be going in the right direction at the right time with the right people. You with me? And it didn't stop there. Then I had to trust two men in the front of the plane that I don't know them. Like if you ever have trouble with faith, just get on a plane. People tell me all the time, Pastor, I can't have faith. I don't have a trouble with faith. I don't know why I don't have faith. When you get on a plane, that's called faith. Because you're in a plane and you're sitting there and you don't know that person, okay? And you just sit there and buckle up. We're going to Charlotte. I want my dry peanuts. Come on, somebody. That's all you want. And so, but the problem is you got to have the right ticket going to the right place with the right people at the right time, and it's going to take faith. And many people are at the wrong gate thinking they're going to get somewhere, but they're not going to get there until you get the right mindset, you get the right app, you get the right direction, and you be at the right time. My friends, that's good news. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So good news means a good story. How many of y'all like a good story? Yeah. Right? You know, you want a good story. How many of y'all realize the gospel means good news? Now, I'm going to date myself a little bit, all right? And I'm going to date you if you raise your hand. How many of y'all remember the musical Godspell? How many of y'all remember Godspell? Okay. Okay, these are the few, the proud. Come on, yeah. Those who lived through the late 1900s, come on. And I'm one of them, come on. But Godspell, which literally means gospel. It's the gospel, the good news. And so when we have the gospel according to Mark, and we're going to be in the book of Mark, which is in the New Testament, the last one-third of the Bible. And so there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All of those are referred to as the Gospels because they have good news. And each of them have a perspective from the person who recorded the good news. Okay, Matthew, okay, he was a tax collector. And so in his gospel, there's a lot of genealogy because where you came from had to do with the taxes you paid. So he had genealogy. He had kingship. Jesus as king was very important. In the gospel of Luke, Luke was a physician. Okay, so as he wrote the gospel, and it's even amazing that we even have it because you can't read physician's writing to save your life. Okay, but he has the plight of man, Jesus as the Son of Man. The gospel, the good news, according to John, the self-proclaimed one, I'm the one Jesus loves. He must have been the youngest of seven, that's all I can say. But he was self-proclaimed, okay? He was the one Jesus. So if you want to understand the love of God and being in a close relationship, it's the gospel of John, the good news according to John. Are you with me? Now, Mark, okay? Mark, it's short stories. It's the shortest of all the gospels. It's quick stories, like real quick. It's for those who have borderline ADD, okay? You get quick stories, you get to get at it to the point. It's where he traveled, where Jesus traveled, what he did in a very succinct manner, okay? Mark traveled with the Apostle Peter. That's found in 1 Peter chapter 5. He also traveled with the Apostle Paul and Barnabas in the book of Acts. So missions in missionary and good news was very important to him because this is what was his life was about. Are you with me? Yep. See, when you understand this and you read it, it begins to make sense on a whole different level. So the Gospel of Mark has a lot of short stories, real quick to the point, all about the gospel, the good news, according to Mark. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Mark chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 9. Mark 1, 9. One day, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee. And John, that was what we know as John the Baptist, baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son who bring me great joy." At this point in Jesus' life, he did no miracles. He did nothing spectacular. But even as a son of God, he brought his father great joy. I want you to catch this. Even, listen, you being a child of God brings your Father in heaven great joy. We can't earn this. But there's a lot of unspectacular things here. I want you to catch the unremarkable, unspectacular things. First of all, Jesus was a common name. We know Jesus, the risen one, the one who died on the cross for us, born of the Virgin. Like, we know that. At this time, Jesus wasn't famous. He was just Jesus. It was an unremarkable name, unremarkable. And many of you in this room right now, you just feel like you're unremarkable. Well, you're in good company. Jesus was too at one time. And then he was from Nazareth, an unremarkable, despised village. Now, I'm not about to say you live in a despised village, but it's unremarkable. There's nothing spectacular, okay? I mean, like, you think about, like, what's White Oak known for? Pizza shops. What's White Oak? White Oak's known for you. Woo! Thank you for that, you know? And of Galilee, the unspiritual region, not the Bible Belt. When I say Bible Belt, like when we travel a lot down south, and we've been doing this a lot, the Bible Belt is where there's a lot of Christians, where Christianity is embraced. We don't live in an area like the Bible Belt. Okay? So then he was baptized. Jesus lowered himself and identified with sinful man. I don't know about you, but I'm so excited Jesus identified with sinful man like me. Come on. Come on, he identified. He didn't get baptized because he was sinful. He got baptized to identify with us and make a way to heaven and a relationship to God for us. Yeah. You got to catch that. He got baptized. Because a lot of people say to me, why do I have to get baptized? Well, Jesus did it. I think it's good enough for you. Come on. And then in the Jordan River, an unremarkable, often unpleasant river. As a matter of fact, in rabbinical teaching, if you look at it in history, the Jordan River was very impure. It wasn't a place that you went for purification. It would be like today. Now, we're going to baptize 13 people. 13 people in this worship time are going to get in the water and come out. And it would be like us saying, we're going to go down the Monongahela River. Yeah. And we're going to go to the worst part of it. Okay, is there a sewage plant around here? That's where we're going to go. How many of y'all are still going to get baptized? Come on. Like, okay, I see those hands. Come on, yeah, come on, yeah. We're from White Oak, yeah. But see, what I'm trying to say is God uses unremarkable places to display his glory. See, we feel unremarkable, but God says, now I got you where I want you. Now, let's go back and read another verse that we read earlier here. And as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart, the Holy Spirit descending, and a voice from heaven. I think that's pretty cool. Yeah. Now, let's look at the glory of God displayed. In the midst of the unremarkable, God displays his glory. The heavens are parting. I thought you'd get excited about that. I don't know. The Spirit descending like a dove. Yeah, you like the dove thing, okay. And then there's a voice from heaven.
You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased.
You like that? That was the voice from heaven. Right? I mean, But that's what I'm trying to communicate to you. In the midst of the unremarkable, God does his best work. Amen. And the good news doesn't need the best climate. The good news needs people who believe the good news. Yeah. And there's an urgency about the good news here. God displayed his glory. Yes. Now, let me just show you one other thing about the book, the Gospel according to Mark. In verse 10, it says, as Jesus. If you look at most translations, it says immediately or suddenly. There are 42 suddenlies in the Gospel of Mark. I mean, there's like suddenly. And then Jesus immediately. And they suddenly did it again. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit showed up. And then suddenly, I wanted to name this whole series, Suddenly. But we settled on good news. Because I like suddenly, I like the urgency. And what I'm trying to say to you in the Gospel of Mark, it's the book of suddenlies. It's the book of movement. It's the book of where did Jesus go? Are you with me? And I'm just trying to show you things in the gospel according to Mark. And he got baptized. He identified with us what he was saying. And when the people get baptized right here and they come out of the water, I want you to hear Jesus saying over you, you're mine. You're mine. We identify together. Listen, I'm the leader. You're the follower. It's not just a ritual. It's saying that I belong to Jesus. Once and for all, that's who I belong to. And then when you come out of the water, verse 12 happens. Then the Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. Is that going to happen after I'm baptized? He was among wild animals and angels took care of him. Jesus went and fasted for 40 days. And as he fasted for 40 days, the devil tempted him along the way. Just because you belong to God, you belong to Jesus now, does not mean that you won't be tempted and tested and tried. But it's so that God can do a work as you identifying with him. He wants us to learn a faith relationship. Not just a ritual, but a faith that we live. So this is what we do. So now let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's
goodness.
He preached God's
goodness.
Jesus preached the good news, right? And the time promised by God is at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the
good news.
So the way you get good news, you got to repent. We view repentance as a bad word. Because in Christian ministry, you need to repent. You need to repent. You got to repent of your sin. We view it negative. We have this picture in our mind when you say repentance of that guy on the corner downtown that has the big sign, turn or burn. Immediately. See, you got that picture. Yeah. See, you got that guy in your mind. Turn or burn, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's quoting the word of God, right? Listen, but repentance is an invitation from God for a relationship with him. So repentance is a good thing. As a matter of fact, you can't have a relationship with God without repentance. The people who are getting baptized today in water, and by the way, there's water baptism, Holy Spirit baptism, and baptism by fire. People say all the time, why do you constantly say water baptism? Because there's three. I want to make sure you know which one you're getting into. Right? I want to make sure you're at the right gate. Oh, I didn't know this was the baptism of fire. Nobody likes preaching that one. But we believe in water baptism, Holy Spirit baptism, and we believe, yes, that there's a baptism of fire. We'll get to that some other day. But what I'm trying to say to you, you have to understand the context of these things. Repentance is an invitation from God. So repent means to think differently. When you come here on a Sunday morning, whether you've been a follower of Jesus for years or this is your first time, you hear the word of God. The goal is that you think differently. And so that in some way, wow, I didn't know that. I repent, God. Because now it's a decision. It's a decision that results in a change of mind, which in turn produces a change of purpose and action. How do you know if you've repented? Because you have a different action. If I offend my wife, and I just come to her and say, I'm sorry, but I plan on doing it again. Is that repentance?
No.
No. She said no. Am I right? See, so feeling sorry and repentance are two different things. Repentance is, I'm sorry and I don't want to do it again. I have a change of mind. So what needs changed to get the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven, the king's domain, where Jesus rules. Hollywood does not rule us. Right. Who the quarterback is for the Steelers does not rule us. What happens in Washington, D.C. does not rule us. Right. We are of a different kingdom. Right. The kingdom of God, where Jesus is in charge. So how do we have peace in the midst of chaos in the Middle East and all over? And what's happening? We have peace because we're of the kingdom of God. Right. We have repented. We have a change of mind, which results in a change of action. There's three implications of repentance. Three here. Renouncing. What am I renouncing? We're separating ourselves from a bad mindset. People say, well, what am I renouncing? You have a mindset that's contrary to the ways of God. Right? And so I'm renouncing and separating myself from that. Then there's a reversal. I was on my way to gate 3. I'm at the wrong gate. I'm going back to gate 1. That's reversal. That's repentance. That's an implication. Last but not least, it reshapes our minds with teachability and submission to God so that we can be demonstrated as a follower of God. And submission is a great word. It has a lot to do with repentance. Repentance is not a one and done. We live lives of repentance because my mind is constantly being reshaped to be more like Jesus. How about you? Yeah. Now, many of us have, listen, many people say, I just don't like this whole submission thing. But we get on planes. Right. We sit in the seat we're supposed to sit in. Right. And flight attendant, I'm sorry, I got to get the right terms. Flight attendant says, buckle up. You don't say, well, that's for other people. What do? You buckle up. Because if you don't buckle up, you're getting off the plane. They're going to stop and they're going to open the door and you're going to get, not in air, I'm talking about before they leave, okay? You're going to get out. Are you with me? See, there's a change here. You begin to submit to the good news. And as you submit to the good news, you're with people that we're going somewhere together, but there's rules that we have to apply. Are you with me? See, that's why we need reshaped in our minds that this is just an option. Well, oxygen popping down if you need it, it's a good option. No, it's. I'm glad it's there. I hope I never need it, but I'm glad it's there. Are you with me? There's a lot of things we have in church. I don't maybe not need it, but I'm glad it's there because it protects us. So does that make sense to you?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Now, before I read the next verse, if you're getting water baptized today, or if you're baptizing somebody, you're going to exit at this time. Okay. I think you're going to go that way. Right?
Most of them.
Some of you are going this way. Some of you are going to gate 1, some to gate 3. I don't know what's happening here. I don't know who is who, but you know who you is, okay? Okay. Are you good? Okay, and glory, hallelujah. Okay, and they're going to go get ready because, man, it's going to be a celebration. I love, love, love. Baptisms never get old. And Mark chapter 1, verse 19. Mark chapter 1, verse 19. You know, it would help if my notes were out of order. Mark 1, 16. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. And Jesus called out to them, "Come follow me, and I'm going to show you how to fish for people." They left their nets, and at once they followed him. And this is the deal here. Galilee was a big region made up of a lot of little villages and towns. Very similar to Pittsburgh, actually. It was a lot of little villages, boroughs, municipalities, all smushed into one. Okay, Galilee was a lot like that. Jesus did most of his work in Galilee. He only went really to Jerusalem when there was a big feast, a big religious feast. So he went all around here, and he found these guys that were fishing. This was not their first time they heard him. This was probably somewhere between 2 to 4 times. They heard him, they saw him, and they experienced him. And he said, follow me. He says, don't stop at acknowledge me. Move into a faith relationship. Move into faith. See, it's not good enough to acknowledge the gate. It's not good enough to acknowledge there is a ticket. It's not good enough. You have to get the ticket. Are you with me? You got to be willing to do that. You got to be willing to do more than that. And he says, and then he says here, and I will show you. There's a gradual process of training. Now I'm going to take you somewhere, and we're going to grow and do something together. Jesus, after you get baptized and after you repent and be baptized and have faith in him, and what we're here doing at Bridge City Church is growing in our faith. Are you with me? Yeah. We're growing in our faith because we're gradually progressing to where Jesus is. And then verse 19, a little further up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat repairing their nets. He called them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. The first four people that Jesus called in the Gospel of Mark, and remember his first message, his first words, okay, were first of all, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then the next red-lettered words we see from Jesus here is follow me. They were two sets of brothers that he called here. Now, fishermen were common men. Fishermen were common men. They were without theological credentials. They were low status in the world. Jesus chose those men not for who they were, but for who they what he would do through them. And I want to tell you today, we are here today not because of who you are, but because of what God can and will do through you. Every person here, God has a plan and he has a purpose, and you're somewhere in that purpose right now. But the spirit of a fisherman, see, they were common men. How many of y'all are common here today? In an unremarkable place called White Oak, doing unremarkable things by an unremarkable river called the Monongahela, with unremarkable people. That's where God does his best work. So last thing I want to do is I want to show you the characteristics of a fisherman here. A successful fisherman had courage. They have to have the ability to work together. They got to have patience, energy, stamina, faith, tenacity. I love this one the best. Professional fishermen simply could not afford to be. Did you hear that? Did you hear yourself? So Jesus is looking for these kind of people. People that are willing to go on mission trips, people who are willing to share Jesus, people who are willing to want other people to experience him. Look at that. This is what he's looking for. This is what he wants to develop in you. Because most of us, yeah, am I right? Yeah. I don't know. I don't like seat belts. I don't like dry peanuts. No, I'm serious. No, we're going somewhere and we need this. If you would like to take a next step in becoming a follower of Jesus, I don't know where you are, but if you'd like to take a next step with Jesus, just stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm just simply going to pray. You say, I don't know what I'm even saying. I want to take a step of being a follower of Jesus. I'd like to develop these things right here. I know that I got to take a step in developing these to become a follower of Jesus. Who's with me today? This, all you're saying is I want to be a follower of Jesus. I didn't say anything else. This is for everybody in the room. See, you're thinking something different. You didn't listen to the instructions. 5484 is different than 5497. No, I'm trying to show you. We got to listen. So Heavenly Father, I pray over every person standing right now. Lord God, I don't know where they are, but you know. So God, help them become followers of you. Help them know you. Help them experience you. Help them, Lord God, know you in a deep and a relevant way, God. Help us live this good news of the gospel that according to Mark. And a matter of fact, help me, Lord God, have courage and tenacity and patience, Lord. But God, I really need help with these. Lord God, let us be your people that fish for men, Lord. Now, just stay where you are. I'm going to ask you a different question, a completely different question. Have you repented of your mindset? Do you have a day, a moment, or time that you repented? That means that you said, Jesus, I missed the mark. I've missed the mark. I'm sorry. I repent. I change. I want to change my mind about who you are. Jesus, forgive me. I now want to be a follower. If you don't have a day, a moment, or time, today is your day for that. In Jesus' name. And so right now, right here, the most joyful thing I could ever offer any of you is this, is an invitation to a relationship with God the Father, that Jesus Christ is the center of your life. Now, if you don't have a day or time, or you can't point to it, there's a good chance you didn't. So I'm going to ask you right now, if there's anybody in the room right now that can hear my voice, that would like today to be your day where you become a follower of Jesus. Jesus, forgive my past. Lead me to my future. I want a relationship with Jesus for the first time. Just slip up your hand right where you are. Just raise your hand right where you are. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Keep your hands up. Keep them up there. Come on, keep your hands up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. God, pray, keep your hand up there. Now I'm going to do something here. And if you raised your hand, we want to treat and value you. We value people. I don't just want to treat you as a number. We want to treat you as a name. We want to treat you as a real person. And because we value people here. So if you raised your hand real quick, I just want you to do something really simple, okay? I want you to get out of your seat and move your way just back to the corner. And we got to get these folks back quick because of baptisms. Could you really, if you raised your hand, make your way out, make your way over, come on, cheer them on, cheer them on, cheer them on. This is, oh my God. Make your way back, make your way back, make your way over, make your way over, make your way over. Come on, come on, come on. Let's thank the Lord Jesus Christ.